It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
Over them one.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Y'all ready for this?
Thank God it's
Friday. It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Into the sports weekend we go, and it's a big sports weekend. You've got the opener for the Tin Caps coming up tonight. That's why we'll step aside at about 5:40 and 5:45. John and Jack. The Radio Road Tandem will bring you all the coverage of the Tin Caps at Great Lakes. That will start at 6:05 and the pregame at 5:45 right here on your home for the Tin Caps all summer long. 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Also coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll be talking to Greg Rakestraw. And, of course, we've got plenty of things to talk to Rake about, including a quick wrap on what he witnessed at Gainbridge Fieldhouse last weekend with the state championships, also the Final Four. New coach at the University of Indianapolis. They found the replacement for Paul Cassaro, who made the jump over to IUI, the Jaguars. But we'll get all caught up with Greg Rakestraw, and then we'll wrap things up. But we do have our poll still going on right now at X, formerly Twitter. Is we're asking who's going to win that Iowa-UConn game tonight and who wins the personal battle between Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers. And so you've got four choices. You can take Iowa to win, and one of the choices is Clark scores more than Beckers. The other is Beckers scores more than Clark. You could also take UConn to win with two options. First one, Clark outscores Beckers. The other option, Beckers outscores Clark. So there's four different options, and right now it seems like there's a lot of confidence in Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Absolutely, Brett. Votes continue to come in here at 1380 The Fan on X Twitter right now. Iowa winning and Clark scoring the most points leads at just under 64%. Behind that, it's UConn winning, Clark scoring the most at 22.7%. Behind that, is Iowa winning, Beckers scoring the most, and last place right now is UConn winning with Beckers scoring more than Caitlin.
So basically, they believe in Clark to outscore Beckers. Those are the top two. Both have Clark.
Yes.
Mixed on Iowa-UConn, but the poll weights toward Iowa winning.
As of right now, yeah.
Should be a heck of a game. Can't wait to watch that. It's the second of the two Final Four games in Cleveland tonight in the women's Final Four. And then tomorrow from the giant spaceship in Glendale, Arizona. Have you seen my pictures of this? It looks like a giant spaceship has landed in the desert.
Yeah, not too far from Area 51.
Yeah,
they just missed a little
State
bit.
State Farm Arena. Yeah, they just threw a label on it, but it's a big silver metallic stadium, and that is where the Final Four is being held. I don't know what kind of attendance they're expecting. 50, 60,000?
I don't know.
It's a massive, and because it's not one of the, you know, they used to use the stadiums, but they cornered the court, like putting it into a corner or putting it long way against the narrow way of the football field. This is actually full stadium seating. And of course, Purdue had their practice just a little bit ago. How many people, did they ever say how many people actually attended practice? It looked like it was at least 7,000 or 8,000 probably.
Yeah, no official numbers, but it was quite a good majority.
A lot of the lower bowl.
Was filled.
Yeah. It may have been closer to 10,000. But Boilermakers taking on North Carolina State. And I think the keys for Purdue, dominate the post matchup. Do not let the DJ Burns for North Carolina State win the matchup of post players. Zach Edey was named today as the player of the year for the second consecutive year. Kelvin Sampson, by the way, named Coach of the Year, so it did not go to Matt Painter. But, you know, I think, first of all, Purdue has to make sure that they establish Edie in the low block and take away the low block from North Carolina State. Force North Carolina State to shoot the threes and then guard them, defend them, and hope they don't get hot. I think it might be a tough day shooting three-pointers. I think it may take a while for players to adjust and get their feel from distance because they're not used to playing in a stadium with those kind of sight lines. So we'll see. But I think for Purdue, they do need to hit their threes. They cannot, I mean, they cannot just rely. Remember, there's two big guys for North Carolina State. And, you know, one's 6'9", 6'10". Another one is DJ Burns, and he's like 6'8". So they've got a couple of guys that will probably double on Edie. That means somebody will be free to shoot threes. The Boilermakers cannot go 16% from behind the three-point line. Got to make a few.
Yeah, yeah. And it shouldn't, you know, it. We saw that they were able to overcome it against Tennessee, not shooting well from the three-point line. But I think it's just a little bit different now that you're in the Final Four. And it's a different team that you're playing against. It's not just going to be Necht versus Edie. It's a couple players that you have to keep an eye on for NC State.
Also tonight, the women's Final Four. And as we mentioned, you've got the Iowa-UConn game. But, hey, that's not the only game taking place. It is a Final Four for a reason because they've got four teams there, two games. The first game is going to be South Carolina against North Carolina State. Is anybody giving a chance in this game to North Carolina State? That's the sound of crickets.
Yeah, here. I think
if you text us 46862, if you want to be bold enough to go out and say I'm going to be going with North Carolina State tonight, just if anybody out there absolutely believes it, I wonder what the odds are if you would take North Carolina State straight up to win the game.
I'll find it here for
it's
you.
It's got to be crazy. But South Carolina undefeated. I think everybody has basically already got there. You know how you have the bracket where you stick on the team name? I think somebody probably has already gone in and stuck South Carolina into the the championship game because I just do not see a way South Carolina falls in the semifinal. We've been surprised before, and South Carolina surprised us a couple of times, but I just don't see it happening this year. I think it's going to be South Carolina and the Iowa Hawkeyes playing Sunday night for the women's championship.
South Carolina, the women tonight are 11.5-point favorites.
Yeah, but the money line.
You're getting plus 550 on NC State.
Plus 550 to buy them on the money line?
Yep.
5.5 times? It's not worth it.
Okay.
I still don't think that's worth it. I don't think the odds are even good enough to take that kind of payback.
There you go.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Bears, and it looks like at this point they have zeroed in on Caleb Williams and what that means for kind of the rest of the draft and what the scramble will be for certain quarterbacks and where they might fall and teams that might go up to try to chase them. And where does all that activity leave the Colts? Because, again, like I said yesterday, I think if there's ever a year, because the Colts have decided to bring everybody back, that means they have no real holes. All they're drafting is some depth positions. There's no guarantees the guys they draft are even going to make the team. So why take seven picks? You've got seven picks available. You've got one every round of the draft. Put two or three together, get up there as high as you can, and try to chase down one of these top three receivers. I like Marvin Harrison. He may be gone. The Colts might not be able to get up high enough to get him. But you've still got Neighbors and Agunze. Is it Agunze?
I believe so. I'm going to let you go with the pronunciation.
The guy from Washington. Mm-hmm. You've still got them available. Agunze. You've still got them available. And I'd say go up, get yourself the wide receiver that you've really not hit on for a long time. I mean, yeah. I go back and think about the Paris Campbells and the Alec Pierce, who I still don't think is he's not a bad pick, not a great pick for where you took him. He's serviceable, but he's not a real number two. He's more like the third guy or the backup that comes in due to injury or something or arrest. So I'd like to see him upgrade that position. 46862, let us know your thoughts on this Friday edition of the Sports Rush. Greg Rakestraw is joining us next on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Big shout out goes to Georgetown Little League. This weekend they are celebrating their 50th year of baseball on the northeast side of Fort Wayne. So happy 50th to Georgetown Little League. I've got plenty of Little League memories, not only playing at the Georgetown Little League ballpark. I wasn't a regular there. I played an all-star game there. But also one of the places I spent a lot of time as an umpire when I was umpiring Little League baseball. So big shout out for Georgetown Little League. Right now we welcome our next guest on the Sports Rush guest line. From Indianapolis, he is the voice of the IHSA Champions Network, also part of ISC Sports Network. It is Greg Rakestraw. Rake, happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. It's an exciting weekend. You've got Final Four women, Final Four men, and, you know, the women actually have a place in this weekend schedule. You know, it's amazing what's happening with women's basketball, and I feel a lot of that is Caitlin Clark, but a lot of it is just the quality of play we're seeing from the women. So that I think fans that tune in because they want to see this Caitlin Clark they've been hearing so much about are probably surprised at the quality of play of women's basketball if they haven't tuned in over the last few years, and I think they're sticking to it. It showed in the ratings.
Agree with that, and obviously it hits home for us knowing that we are 10 days away from Caitlin Clark officially being a member of the Indiana Fever. The draft is coming up April 15th, knowing that she is heading to the WNBA, knowing that she wants to stay in the Midwest, the Fever has the number one pick. And so the very unique thing about the way the WNBA schedule works is that there is not this lag period. Like, for example, okay, and this resonates with Fort Wayne residents too. Those that aren't Colts fans, good chance they're Bears fans. So obviously the Bears have the number one pick. It's going to be Caleb Williams. The first time you're going to see Caleb playing in a game that matters for the Bears is basically 4.5 months from the day that he is drafted. There'll be preseason games about 3 or 4 weeks out, but he's not playing until the Sunday after Labor Day weekend. Caitlin Clark will play a meaningful game 1 month after she is drafted by the Indiana Fever, because the season's going to start around May 14th, May 16th, around that time. So there's no lag time. There's no time to forget that, hey, this remarkable force in women's basketball that has drove ratings to levels that have never been seen before in the sport, she's coming to the Hoosier State, and she's going to play for our WNBA team, and she'll be doing so in 30 days. This message was not sponsored, but it sounds like the Indiana Fever and Indiana Pacers, by the way.
By the way, I'm going to ask you a question. I've asked a number of guests this week. Is Caitlin Clark the most popular player in all of basketball right now?
It's close. You know, I would still say Steph Curry, LeBron James to a lesser degree. She is clearly the most popular player in college basketball. And the fact that we can even have a conversation with top players in the NBA and the top women's college basketball player is absolutely remarkable to show you what she's accomplished the last couple of years.
Let's talk Final Four on the men's side, and the Purdue Boilermakers heading to take on North Carolina State out in the desert. No plane problems for the Boilermakers. You know, what do you like about the Boilermakers in this matchup against North Carolina State?
I keep coming back to what's going to happen throughout most of our state on Monday, and that is the total eclipse. And if you're DJ Burns, who is used to being the biggest cat on the block, and he will understand what an eclipse is like as he turns and looks up and gives up 7 inches against Zach Edey. So I'm not saying that Purdue's going to blow out NC State. They're not chumps. They play in a great league. They've won, you know, 9 games in order to get to this point, and they've had to. They have an Indiana kid, too, Jayden Taylor from Perry Meridian, transfer from Butler, kind of limited somewhat by an ankle injury in the tournament, but he's going to play a key role for them. But just knowing that Burns is the big mismatch, and he's going to take on someone bigger than he is, it kind of means that NC State has to go to Plan B. And when that is the case coming into the matchup, I like the way things shape up for the Boilermakers tomorrow night.
I love the graphic that I keep seeing that says 20% of the players in the Final Four are from the state of Indiana, where they played their high school basketball. That means 12 players from Indiana. 11 of them are on the Purdue right. roster. It's got to be fun for you, somebody who's covered high school basketball so extensively over the last few years, to see so many familiar names wearing the black and gold this weekend.
And I'll obviously feel that way about Caleb, you know, because you've seen him more than even I have, but I had his games in high school. Same for Braden Smith, same for Mason Gillis, same for Trey Kaufman Wren, you know, to a lesser degree, the Waddell kid from Carmel, but unfortunately hasn't been able to crack the rotation yet over the course of the last two or three seasons. He has been there. Obviously Carson Barrett, who is a phenomenal player at Lafayette Central Catholic and kind of knew, you know, he was turning down Division II and NAI offers to go follow his dad's footsteps, you know, to be kind of a walk-on in basketball at Purdue. But he has embraced that role. But yes, 11 Purdue Boilermakers hail from the state of Indiana. It is one of many reasons, and Purdue has always been that way, but it also harkens back to the heyday of IU and why you have a lot of old school Indiana fans that now say, hey, what the Hoosiers were back in the day, this is what the Boilermakers are now. It's why you've got a lot of Indiana fans that are saying, hey, that's our rival, but it's a team that I respect and a team that I'm rooting for coming up this weekend.
Greg, you had a chance to cover the evening session of the state championships last week. Of course, I bailed after Canterbury got the win against Bethesda. I think that one might have surprised you a bit at how well Canterbury played in that game.
It did, and credit to the folks at Canterbury. Again, I should have given them a little more credit going in, especially knowing the luxury of being in Fort Wayne, the same advantage that Bethesda Christian has being in Brownsburg and being in Indianapolis. It is much easier to play a more difficult schedule. And so there were numerous 3 and 4A schools that Canterbury had a chance to play, which is the exact same story that Bethesda Christian had. I probably put too much stock in the fact of the ratings were so heavily tilted towards the southern half of the 1A draw. And again, for I didn't know that much about either side because I wasn't going to be broadcasting that game. But I know how tough it is to beat Bar Reeve at the Hatchet House. And when Bethesda won that game by 27 points, when they probably had 400 fans there and Barry probably had 4,000 fans there, I'm like, well, if Bethesda can do that, they're going to win the 1A game no problem. Well, good news is for the folks in Fort Wayne, the folks at Canterbury didn't feel that way. So congratulations to the Cavaliers on a job well done. And yes, the tenor of that game and the result did absolutely surprise me. And from the Fort Wayne perspective, I'm glad I was wrong about that.
And speaking of the Fort Wayne perspective, Wayne had their tournament ended at the hands of Fishers in a semi-state championship, and Fishers goes on to win the state title. It's a special year for Fishers. It's a really good ball team. Wayne gave them a heck of a battle. But when you saw this Fishers team and you followed them throughout the year, was there a certain point where you thought that's the team to beat in Class 4A?
When they throttled Kokomo the first time. Like, I knew Kokomo was really good. Kokomo had some flaws. But when you take a team that has a McDonald's All-American level player and were the state runners-up the year before, albeit with some heavy graduation losses, but, you know, 3 weeks into the season and you beat them by 22 and you hold Florida 4 points, that's impressive. And, again, the jaw-dropping thing for Fishers is that their best player left before the season started. Jalen Harrelson, I mean, this is a ridiculous junior class in the state that's about to be seniors, but the top recruit decided to go the prep school route and played at LaPorte-La-Lumiere. And the fact is, they didn't miss a beat. They are a tremendous team in terms of role players. You know, Garner is going to be a Division I talent. I'm sure he'll announce at some point in time as to where he's heading. John Anthony Hall, I think, has more of a future in football than basketball. You know, the kids like Cooper Zachary and Jason Gardner Jr., they're just freshmen, but they're two of their top seven players. They'll develop. The Metzger kid that's a great shooter is going to play at Huntington for Coach Alford next year. So there's two or three Division I level athletes on that team, but it's not a team that has a star player. They were simply a great team, which is pretty much what Ben Davis was a year or two ago as well.
We're talking to Greg Regstall. He's joining us on our guest line. And, Greg, I want to ask you about the decision at UIndy. They've got Scott Hetty to come in and replace Paul Cassaro as the coach. I know you're very familiar with Coach Hetty. Your thoughts on the hire?
he'll be tremendous down there. And for those who know, Scott graduated from what was Indiana Central at the time. He may have been the first class that was the University of Indianapolis. I believe he's an 86 U Indy graduate. This is a job he's wanted for some time. He loved Marion, did a fantastic job at Marion. What he couldn't quite do at Marion was break through to get to that Indiana Wesleyan level that, frankly, now Grace has kind of gotten to and at least temporarily surpassed them. Now, Grace, I think, will come back in the pack this year because they've got some kids that are fifth-year seniors who have at least put their name in the portal. The Malone kid, that's their tremendous post player, he is going to go portaling. I know at least one of the Gibbs brothers is doing that and going to kind of see what is out there. So Grace might take a step back from where they have been the last couple of years as the best team in that league. Scott consistently had Marion as the third or fourth best team in that league, which means you're one of the top 20 teams in the country. As you well know from St. Francis, the Crossroads League is absolutely ridiculous. So Scott's going to take the chance to go to UIndy. UIndy has become the best program in the GLVC, but that league is not what it was, say, in the days where IPFW at the time was a part of the GLVC. When you have Northern Kentucky, Southern Indiana, Bellarmine, Kentucky Wesleyan, Purdue Fort Wayne, and SIU Eversville, over the course of 10 to 12 years, all leave the league, there is no way you can replicate all of that. UIndy is a very good program. I know a lot of those kids that are playing now for UIndy are going to follow Paul Cassaro to IU Indianapolis. Now the question is, how many of the Marion guys follow Scott Hetty to go play at UIndy next year? So Scott is so well connected in terms of high school coaching, especially at Carmel. The Greyhounds will be just fine next year, but they may look a lot different. But I think this is going to be Scott's last stop as a coach. And knowing this has been a dream job for him for probably 30, 40 years, I know he'll do great things on the south side of Indianapolis.
Greg, I'm going to break the rules of quality interviews 101 because I'm going to circle back. I want to ask you another high school question, and it involves Mr. Basketball, which is going to be coming up in 2 or 3 weeks. Is it a two-man race? And does Flory, does he get any, I guess, does he lose votes because it's the he's just big type of argument?
I don't think so. I think this becomes almost it is a two-man race, to answer your question. It's going to be Flory or Jack. Jack Benner from Brownstown Central. Because Flory has had such a huge stage the last 3 years, I don't think he loses in terms of the big man argument. I also don't think he is penalized by the fact that his team got beat in the regional round and Jack's team won the 2A championship. I think this largely comes almost kind of a North versus South. And this award's probably more political than it should be, but all awards like this are. Anybody north of I-70, I think, will largely vote for Flory. A lot of folks south of I-70, I think, will largely vote for Jack Benner. But again, and this is not to, you know, anything against Jack. He's a fantastic player, and I'm not sure if he plays next year at Purdue. He will contribute at some point in time for Matt Painter, Purdue University. But one kid's a McDonald's All-American, the other one is not. In my estimation, the award should go to Flory, Virginia.
The old theory that kids that stay in-state and go to one of the in-state schools always have an advantage, does that still apply?
Sure. I think it does a little bit. But again, Flory is such a unique kid. I mean, he truly has a million-dollar smile. You have to have a screw loose to speak to somehow be kind of anti-Flory because, yeah, he's not from here, but he has so embraced being in Kokomo and being an Indiana high school kid, you know, being from the Congo. He speaks 4 languages, but, you know, the fact that he made it a point where so many people thought, and I never thought he was going to do this because I kind of know the backstory, but I think a lot of people almost go, well, all right, after his sophomore year, he's going to go to our prep school, right? The fact that he didn't do that, I think to some degree, overrides the he's going to Kansas and the other candidate's going to Purdue. Because I think now if you're going to stay here and play at that level for 3 years, you're going to be viewed as an Indiana kid, whether you're from here or not, or whether you're playing college basketball here or not.
Always appreciate you, Greg. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk again.
We'll talk soon, buddy. Take care.
Yep, that is Greg Regstraw, ISC Sports Network, the voice of the IHSA Champions Network, joining us from an undisclosed location.
Yeah.
They seem to be already enjoying their weekend. That's all I'll say.
That's all we got to say.
That's all we got to say. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Hey, don't forget, if you miss any of the show, you can always keep up. Maybe the weekend's a good chance to catch up on all of the episodes of The Sports Rush. We archive and podcast every one of our daily episodes, and you can find them wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Be sure you subscribe for free and follow us, whether it's Google, Apple, Spotify, wherever you're listening to podcasts. Make sure you search for us by name, Sports Rush with Brett Rump. And keep up with everything that we've got on the show, including today's guest, Mike Nutter, in our first hour. And we just talked to Greg Rakestraw just moments ago. So it is the Final Four weekend. We've got your coverage coming up here this evening. In fact, after the Tin Caps, we will have that Iowa-UConn game. We'll join it in progress as soon as the Tin Caps and the Great Lakes Loons wrap up. And that will be coming up later tonight. Here's the thing. I don't think that the Tin Caps are going to get done in time to get game one. You might catch the very end of it.
Right. We'll be joining game one in progress, definitely. Might be close to the end, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, we might not make it to game one. But game two, I guess, we're going to join the coverage in progress. But the game itself, probably we will have full play-by-play. That game's not going to start until at least 9:30.
Yeah.
And probably closer to about 9:50.
Right. It just depends on
game one. Tin Caps should be done by then with a 6:05 start.
Oh, yeah. Especially with the pitch clock and everything.
Yeah. Once again, a reminder, tonight's schedule for the Comets postponed at Wheeling.
Yep.
They've still got flooding, and apparently that flooding hasn't subsided much. The game has been rescheduled for next Wednesday. Wheeling is scheduled for a home game on Sunday, and keeping fingers crossed that they'll be able to host that game on Sunday so they don't have to play like 5 games in 6 days or something crazy next week to try to finish up the schedule. That's certainly not the way you want to see the Comets make the playoffs, is because a flood is the culprit.
Right.
But no broadcast tonight, but the Comets back at home tomorrow night to take on the Indy Fuel at the Memorial Coliseum. Shane Alberani will have the call on our sister station, WoWo, 1190 AM and 92.3 FM. Also, over the weekend, what else do we have? We've got TinCast Baseball tomorrow. It's afternoon baseball tomorrow, 12:45 pregame. A 105 first pitch, Tin Caps game two of their three at Great Lakes. And then the Final Four, men's Final Four, comes up tomorrow. We'll have the Purdue Network radio coverage with Rob Blackman and company that will start at 5 p.m. as Purdue takes on North Carolina State. And then we'll turn it over to Westwood One for second game broadcast of UConn, Alabama. Monday night will be the championship game in the NCAA tournament.
Hard to believe we've kind of already reached that point.
Yeah, it's the end of the road.
End of the road.
It's the end of the road. But anyway, we have the women with their championship on Sunday, men with their championship then on Monday. And, of course, on Monday's show, we'll be all set to talk preview of the NCAA National Championship game. And hopefully we've got a lot to say about the Purdue Boilermakers. I think they'll take on UConn. I'm going Purdue, UConn. Adam, what do you have?
I got to go Purdue, UConn as well.
So is it officially official or just widely reported that Josh Ertz, after last night's loss in the NIT Championship game, is going to St. Louis? It is basically reported to the point of being assumed, but I don't know that there's been an official announcement put out by either Josh Ertz or the St. Louis Billikens.
Nope.
But if you scan Twitter, everybody's saying, sources are saying Josh Ertz is signing a blank deal for this many years. I mean, it seems like it's a done deal. I wonder, since there hasn't been a public announcement, could there be any interference, like a last minute attempt by Kansas State to lure Josh Ertz? Because Kansas State lost their coach to Arkansas, who lost their coach to USC, who lost their coach to SMU. It's like a big domino, but that Kansas State job opened up last night. And you wonder, if things weren't already signed, T's crossed, I's dotted, could Josh Schertz have an opportunity, perhaps, to be the next coach of Kansas State?
Ooh, it's possible, but yeah, latest is just saying that it should be official within the next 24 hours. But
I mean, I saw that he was going to be meeting with the team today. I mean, all kinds of reports. And I think we've all assumed that this was coming for, what, the last week or two?
Yeah.
Especially when St. Louis didn't name another coach.
Right.
But I kind of wonder, is the Kansas State opening, is that something that maybe the Kansas State would be interested in Josh Schertz coming into there? I think the most likely scenario is he is not coaching Indiana State next year. I just don't think the funding is there to be able to afford to keep him in Terre Haute. But it was a fun run. Unfortunately, the Sycamores fell apart last night in the last 2 minutes, outscored 9-0 by Seton Hall after they had a 77-70 lead. And they ended up losing that game 79-77. And our runner-up, Seton Hall, the champion of the National Invitational Tournament. Big plans this weekend for you, my friend?
Basketball and baseball.
Oh, that's right. You're already into the baseball thing. That's why you've got this baseball theme taking us out today, right? Because
yes, sir.
We're ready for some baseball. Minor league opening day, and we're going to be all over it. John Nolan and Jack Gordon are going to have the call of Tin Caps Baseball with the pregame show coming up right after the break. Big thanks to our guests, including Tin Caps president Mike Nutter, and a big thanks to Greg Rakestraw for joining us in hour number two. Have a great weekend of baseball and basketball. Tin Caps Baseball comes up next. This has been a Friday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.